This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Los Angeles is still erupting after yesterday's not guilty verdicts for four Los Angeles police officers accused of beating Rodney King. An angry uprising has resulted in violence, arson, and looting. At least 9 people have been killed. Community and political leaders have been trying to channel the rage. There have been demonstrations and some violence in other cities. We called Janet Clayton, the assistant editor of the Los Angeles Times editorial page. We caught up with her earlier today in between editorial meetings and wanted to know what the editors would be saying about the situation in tomorrow's paper.
It's obvious that there will be an appeal for calm, but beyond that, there has to be some context to this reaction. And as we were talking about this morning, the uprising that is occurring in Los Angeles is not just about the Rodney King verdict. It is about an earlier verdict in which a 15-year-old black teenager was shot in the back of the head, and the woman who did it was sentenced to community service and a small fine and probation. It's a culmination of events that have occurred, I think, not just in this city, but in this nation. In the last 10 years or so, and people feel powerless. And in this town, you've got a dwindling percentage of the black population, and it's ironic because you have a black mayor for a long time here, Mayor Tom Bradley, and people might assume from that people feel empowered, but black people in this town do not feel empowered. They feel under siege on a personal level, on professional levels, and this frustration is palpable, and it's very frightening, because even in a church last night called First AME Church, which is one of the large, very politically active churches in Los Angeles, a lot of the talk last night there was broadcast. And what was interesting was that these were people who were church-going people who believe in turning the other cheek, who were middle-class people, well-educated people. But when some of the politicians went to the podium and appealed for, in effect, you know, be calm and be patient and vote for things on the ballot in June that will make things better, a lot of those middle-class Christian people said, no, we're tired of waiting, we're tired of being patient. And their anger was just inflamed by some of the comments of some of the jurors who basically said that, well, Rodney King was in control of this situation. He brought it on himself. In effect, he asked for it. And that's just more than people could take. The saddest thing, of course, is that this anger has manifested itself in violence, which is only destructive to the very black community that so desperately needs to feel empowered. And in effect, it's economic suicide, which is occurring in the black community in Los Angeles. And I think people need to look at this, because I think they're fooling themselves if they think that these conditions exist only in Los Angeles.
I'm wondering, you know, I've heard so much about how African-Americans are stopped because they're black in Los Angeles by the police. And I'm wondering if that's happened to you or to friends of yours, if you have any firsthand understanding of that.
I have never been stopped. This typically happens to black males, but I should tell you, I don't know any black male in Los Angeles, and I'm talking about from people who are unemployed to lawyers and doctors, who have not in the last 10, 15 years been harassed by police officers at some point with remarks like, what are you doing in this neighborhood? Why did you stop me, officer? Well, you look like the type that might be into trouble. What is the type? What is the problem? What are you talking about? Get out of the car, spread eagle, that sort of thing. That is very common, and as I said, I actually grew up in Los Angeles, so I have a long point of history on this, and I don't know any black male under the age of 40 who at some point has not had that occur to him.
I don't know how old you are, but were you around during the Watts riots?
Yes, I grew up here, and I was a kid during the Watts riots, and I remember it, certainly. I remember seeing the images and so on, and I did live in what was then considered the curfew area. I did not live in Watts. They made the curfew area very broad, as they have this time. In 1965, the curfew area went for about, I think it may have been 10 or 15 square miles. The actual rioting and looting and burning only occurred in a fairly contained area of a couple of miles or so. This time, it's also a very broad area that they have put under curfew. And this time, I must say that the arson and the fire damage seems to be much more widespread than it was in Watts. It's all over. It's all over the south part of the city.
Are there any comparisons that seem appropriate to you?
To Watts of 65?
Yeah.
Well, the one big connection, of course, is that it involves frustrated black people and the Los Angeles police. I mean, that's the most obvious comparison. But what was also interesting was that last night, when the violence started downtown Los Angeles in Civic Center, where the police headquarters is, of those young people that were attacking the buildings and who were yelling and screaming and so on, that was a multiracial group. There were lots of Latinos in that group. There were lots of whites in that group. I would suspect that that group was at 50% not black. So that's interesting. In fairness, you have to say that, I mean, some of these people were clearly angered by the verdict. Some of them were just kids, thugs, you know, who just had something to do and wanted to spray graffiti on a government building and smash windows because they thought it was a party. So, you know, you have a mix of people. You have people who are genuinely outraged and feel that the system does not work for them, that the rules are different for black people and the justice system. And unfortunately, there's a history of that for black people in this country. There were also kids there that just, you know, I don't think they had a political bone in their bodies. They just wanted to wreak havoc, and they did.
No, I think that the L.A. Times had a few windows smashed today or last night.
Yes, the building had many windows smashed, as a matter of fact.
Do you think that that was directed specifically at the paper, or do you think that that was just like one of many buildings and it wasn't sending a specific message to the paper?
I don't think it was specific to the paper. I think what they did seem to be doing is attacking all official-looking buildings, and the Times is a large building. They may have even thought it was a government building. The bank was also attacked next door here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was anything at the bank. I think that they, you know, they just wanted to smash windows.
Are you worried about getting home tonight?
I am going to be leaving work early tonight.
Because of the curfew?
Yes, it's because of the curfew. My mother lives in the curfew area, and my daughter is young, 3 years old. My mom keeps her during the afternoon. So I will need to leave work early to get to her house and get secured before dark. I don't feel as if, you know, it's tremendous danger, but I am concerned, yes.
Do you think the curfew is a good idea?
Yes, probably so. The emotions are running very high, and you know, whatever they can do to encourage people to stay in their homes and not stand out and be spectators and turn, you know, and stir things up, I think is useful, because people now are going to have to try to look at constructive ways to channel their anger.
Let me ask you: Are you looking at like special routes to get to where you're going to avoid places that might be, you know, conflict spots?
No. In the case of the route that I'm going to have to take tonight, there's really no way for me to avoid possible conflict spots. My mother simply lives, you know, in a route, so that there's no other way for me to really avoid that. So I'll do what I can. I'm not terribly worried about it, but I think I would be foolish to ignore the curfew.
Is there anything you'd like to get in that we haven't gotten to before you have to run?
No, just that, you know, it's a very tragic day, not only for Los Angeles, but for the nation, and I hope the nation looks at itself in the mirror and understands that this is not some one crazy thing occurring in L.A., but that this is something that America has to address, and I hope people understand the deeper issues that are underlying all of this chaos.
Well, I guess I should let you go. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Janet Clayton is assistant editor of the Los Angeles Times editorial page. We'll hear from the head of a community security force in Los Angeles after this short break. This is Fresh Air.